The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Niamh O'Reilly is with me for the Kids Clinic this week, the freelance writer, journalist and broadcaster, to talk about pets and having pets in the house with kids growing up. So we were just talking during the news headlines there about pets in the hot weather and how badly our respective dogs handle the heat.
Me and the dog both, like, we were both just sort of on the couch panting for air. Will this ever pass? But yeah, like, I mean, I would never be without a dog in the house. And like,
now, when you say in the house, you mean outside the house, but close to it,
don't
you?
No, I mean in my life. So, like, growing up.
Not in the actual house. I mean,
definitely in the house.
Who lets their dogs in the house? What monsters?
In the house, on the couch. No, I draw the line at upstairs. They don't sleep up in bed or anything like that. No. But, like,
someone stopped us the other day and they were rubbing the dog and they had a similar dog to us. And they said, "Does yours sleep in the bed with you as well?"
And you were like, "No."
I felt like, what did they barely get the paw in the door. Carrying out a citizen's arrest on this person.
They're going to phone the DSPCA on you, definitely. No, but, like, dogs and kids, I think, are just a dreamy combo. Like, we always had a dog growing up and I can't really remember a time when we didn't have a dog. Like, obviously, when the family pet passed away, there was a little bit of mourning, a couple of months of getting over that. But, like, we always got another dog.
A respectful interregnum.
There was.
But not too respectful.
No, because, I mean, there was. Like, not to laugh. I mean, the grief is real when you lose a dog.
Well, I want to ask you about that, actually, in a moment. But let's start with your kids and dogs.
So
you had a dog before you had kids.
I did. Okay. And you're probably going to laugh and roll your eyes at the level of preparation I put
in. Go on, tell me.
So, like, the first thing we did, got married, got the house. The first thing I wanted to do was get a dog. So within a month of getting the house, we got a dog, got a Cavalier King Charles, Lily. And for an entire year, she was my fur baby. And then a year had passed and I had an actual human baby. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that the two of them got on brilliantly from the start, that we had no issues. So I put in an awful lot of preparation. And I didn't pluck this out of the sky. I did a lot of research on it. So what I would do while I was pregnant, especially towards the end of the pregnancy, was randomly, you know, while I was at home working, I would play baby crying noises just to get the dog used to the sound of, like, crying. And, like, not just regular crying, but, like, you know, really bad
baby
crying.
Did any friends or neighbours ever call around when this was happening?
Are you all right, Niamh? Are you feeling okay?
So I think
You, the dog wasn't at all triggered, but I was triggered. I was like, my baby won't cry this much, will it? But anyway, so the point of that was to get the dog used to the sound of, like, a baby crying, but without the humans reacting to it, to make it a big thing. So, like, I'd randomly play them. I wouldn't look at her. I wouldn't make eye contact. I wouldn't make it a big thing. And she would just, her ears would prick up. Yeah. You know the way when a dog hears something they're not sure about and their head kind of turns to the side? So she didn't go bananas and bark and stuff like that. So I feel like that was really worthwhile doing. What I also did was, you know, when all the baby stuff is coming into the house before you have your first baby, so the pram and the Moses basket and the car seat. So I put all of that down and I let her sniff it and, like, get into the Moses basket if she wanted to and the car seat and stuff. So she was used to all this stuff around the place. And then I think the most useful thing that I did was, on, like, the second night in hospital, I sent home a onesie that the baby had worn with my husband, and to give it to the dog so she could sniff it and she could have it in the bed and she could get used to the smell of the baby, so that when the baby came home, it wasn't a completely alien thing in her life. And, like, they were best pals from day one. And, like, you know, those early kind of weeks with a newborn where obviously they can't do very much and you're trying to do, like, tummy time down on the mat and stuff. She was straight over.
Tummy time's a con, you know that.
I hate tummy time. But that's for another show.
It's a con. You know the way that, sorry, I'm going off on one here, and I'm sorry if the HSE public health nurses are listening.
Someone will text in and give out.
You know, all the kind of neck muscles you have to develop, which would suggest that there are adults out there now walking around with their heads on their chests because they didn't do tummy time.
And someone's going to look at you and say, "You didn't do tummy time as a baby."
Exactly. Give me a break.
Yeah, tummy time's for another day, but I wasn't a big fan of it and the guilt around tummy time. But anyway, when we were doing all those sorts of things on the mat and letting the baby kick his legs and stuff, the dog was straight over, she was involved, and I had no issue with the two of them being together. Now, obviously, I would never have left the two of them in a room alone together, you know, and I wouldn't. She's the most trusting little dog in the world. She's a Cavalier, very easygoing. But I would never leave the two of them alone until, like, your child is maybe out of the toddler stage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as calm and wonderful as your dog might be, toddlers are unpredictable and they can make like body movements and stuff like that that could be misinterpreted by dogs. So I'd say until your children are a little bit older, don't leave them alone together in a room, just in case. But like best pals from day one.
And what did your child, what did your eldest get out of having a dog? Like what was the benefit for the child?
Still now, like touch wood, Lily is still with us and alive and kicking. So much. So like a sense of responsibility probably because, you know, I've had both of my kids involved in, you know, the care of the dog. So like either one of them has to feed her every evening. They don't particularly like doing that, but they have to. And they love bringing her for a walk. Now, they're not old enough to go off and walk them, walk her by themselves. But like there's a fight over who's holding the lead and stuff like that. And, you know, if she has to go to the vet or anything like that, they come with me and they're, you know, they would wash her as well. But like I send her off to a groomer because they do a much better job than the kids. So like a huge sense of responsibility, but also like empathy, you know, and the fact that you have to put in sort of time with a dog to kind of earn their trust. And yes, a dog is always going to love you. But if you want them to come over and sit with you and let them pet you, you've got to put time in. Mm. You know, you've got to think, well, pulling their ear, does the dog really like that? You know, so it teaches them, I think, a lot about empathy and loving, you know, something else outside themselves and care, you know, for another creature.
So you mentioned kind of Lily is still with you.
Yes.
How conscious are you of the fact that your kids will still be kids and they're going to have to deal with this bereavement?
I know. And that's always ticking away in the back of my mind. And I think for a lot of us, if you think back, probably our first introduction to grief is losing the family pet. Like I still remember losing our first dog. I think I was around 7. It was really, really hard. Mm. But I think it's a very important kind of milestone to go through. And it is unfortunately a fact of life with pets. They just don't live as long as we do. And if that puts you, you can't have that as a barrier and say, well, I'm not
How
getting a dog.
How old is your eldest?
He's 8.
So is he conscious of that?
I mean, he wouldn't verbalise it to me. But I think, you know, he knows that there is a lifespan, you know, with Lily. And like, as she's gotten older, she has a few, you know, health complaints and stuff. And we have to lift her up sometimes if she wants to jump on the couch and stuff like that. So they can see her getting a little bit more fragile in front of their eyes. So it's there in the back of their mind. But, you know, it will be really difficult when that moment comes. But I think it's a very important part of dog ownership and important part in life, you know, and maybe it's the best way to learn about grief.
So some people will do the mental things that you did and play children screaming around the house before the baby's born. Other people, though, listening to this, they think, you know what, I like everything Neva's saying about all the things the kids will learn from it. And it's a great idea. And we're going to take the plunge.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it. We already have kids at home, but we're going to get a dog.
Yeah.
What advice do you give people when they say that to you?
I mean, I suppose, like, if you've never had a dog before, it's going to be a bit of a culture shock. I mean, if you've never, ever had a dog before, because like it's all great and it's all wonderful, but you might be expecting kind of like an Andrex puppy style, you know, relationship with a dog. And it's not always like that. And also your life won't be the same again. This is a huge commitment. You can't walk out the door on a whim and say, do you know what, we'll go XYZ for the night. Who's going to look after the dog? You know what I mean? Even if you're going out for the day, you know, with your kids or whatever, you can't leave the dog alone for extended periods by themselves. So it's a huge tie. And you have to acknowledge that. And you have to be able to put in the time. Dogs also need walks every single day. Some breeds need 2 walks a day. It really depends. So it's a huge, huge investment. But the benefits are so worth it. I mean, you know, bringing a dog into your life, and I think particularly with children, and I think especially with kids these days, like there's nothing nicer than seeing your child on the couch just petting a dog, and it really calms them down. I find, you know, your kids can come in, they're doing so many activities, you know, these days, and school is full on, and social media and all the rest, and just getting them to sit down and calm down and pet the dog. I mean, there's numerous studies to show that that has such benefits for mood, and it brings down your heart rate and all of that sort of stuff. So it's just a lovely, lovely thing.
It is. And if anybody likes the sound of it and is looking for a dog, I've got a golden retriever. I'll sell you at a good price. Neve O'Reilly, freelance writer, journalist and broadcaster. Neve, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.